Good evening. This is a regular meeting of the San Luis Obispo County Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 3 Advisory Committee, Thursday, July 17, 2014. This meeting is now in order. First item is roll call.
Member Ikeda.
Here.
Member Bright.
Here.
Member Barnich.
Here.
Member Gehring.
Here.
Member Angelo.
Here.
And Chair Vardis.
Here. So we have change of chair and vice chair to Pismo Beach and Oceano. So we've just accomplished that?
I think we have accomplished that.
And how long does that last?
For the entire year.
Okay. Any objections to that from the group? Seeing none, next on the agenda is public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to comment on items that are not on the agenda. Does anyone wish to speak? Seeing none, we will move on to the meeting minutes of May 15th, 2014. Are there any questions or comments on the minutes?
No.
Entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next on the agenda is the operations report.
And that will be given tonight by Joe Phillips.
Thank you. Yep. Any other questions for our presenter? Thank you for the presentation. Next thing on the agenda is information items. This is an update on the status of the Habitat Conservation Plan.
Switch this around. Mr. Chairman, members of your committee, Mark Hutchinson, Department of Public Works. You do have a staff report on the Habitat Conservation Plan. We are engaged in the process of selecting the hydrogeologic consultant. That selection panel consists of the TAC, the county project manager, project engineer, and project environmental specialist. We did get four proposals. The selection panels narrowed that down to two with a unanimous and consistent results in their scoring and analysis. So your environmental resource specialist assigned, Katie Drexage, is working to coordinate with the selection panel the interview process. So the next step is that two of the firms will be invited to make a presentation of about 45 minutes covering a set of topics specified by the selection panel, followed by a question and answer period. And then the selection panel, if they're comfortable with moving forward with both of those firms, would solicit cost and scheduled proposals from those companies. So we're making good progress. The team's working well together. And as we anticipated, though, in the summer months, getting the members of the selection panel all in the same room at the same time is the typical challenge, but that will come together. There is one important staffing change. The selection panel has always been designated that the Department of Public Works Environmental Division Manager is a member of the selection panel. I no longer hold that position, but we have filled it with a longtime member of my staff named Kate Ballantyne. So she will assume that role. However, Environmental Division is under my oversight in the department, so I'll remain involved in the project from the deputy director position.
Thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. Any questions for Mr. Hutchinson? Glad to see that we're making progress on selection of the consultant. Okay, moving on. Next thing on the agenda is capital projects update. Mr. D. Dotting.
We have Jeff Lee from Public Works Utilities Division to give you a verbal update on the capital improvement projects.
Good evening. As Mark said, I am Jeff Lee from County Public Works. Just a quick update for you this evening. Four projects that we're working on, one of which is the sixth rack. As you know, we're working towards getting an additional rack. We're working forward with negotiations with the sole source through Paul Corporation, the same company who has supplied the first five racks. The preliminary design is in process for connection of those pieces once the final contract is signed. with Paul. The next project is the perimeter security fence. As we reported last month, that did go out to bid. At last Tuesday's Board of Supervisor meeting, that contract was awarded to Spies Construction out of Santa Barbara for a contract price of $120,050. That was under budget from what you had allocated, so we were able and are able to complete the entire eastern boundary of the plant, as well as the northern terminal reservoir. You budgeted future monies to do the western boundary, and so I believe that goes into the 16-17 fiscal year for that. Next project is the Turnout SCADA project. We are continuing to work on that with a radio versus cell analysis. We are leaning towards radio compatibility for a number of reasons. However, we anticipate a thorough discussion at a future TAC meeting or even a possible special TAC meeting in order to present those decisions for your finalization. And then lastly, we have the equipment replacement plan. We have moved forward with getting a proposal from Wonderware, which is the equipment supplier for the computers, for hardware and software upgrades. We are looking to present at the next TAC meeting in August a couple of budget scenarios for how to provide information for how you can do that either this fiscal year or in the timing that the TAC and the advisory committee wants to move forward with. So with that, I'm available for any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for Mr. Lee?
Jeff, did I understand that it was
Spies Construction, yes.
Okay.
They do have a local sub, Big Waku, who has is very familiar with the plant as well.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you for the presentation. Do I have a question?
No.
Okay. Okay. Next on the agenda is action items.
Information with the attachments, water conservation measures, the current ones. Which obviously, if the drought continues, will change, is the recommendation of the TAC for your consideration and adoption.
Thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. And it appears that the changes are very minor, just a few items.
Just a few. Of course, yeah. The reservoir level we're just adjusting to match the whatever the percentage is. I think we're a little probably rounding off to 50% at this point. And then some good wording changes there towards the end, very minor.
Okay. Any questions for Mr. Hutchinson on this item? Okay. Thank you. Next thing on the agenda is action items.
You wanted to adopt it, so if the advisory committee does want to do that, we need a motion and a vote.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
I'll move adoption.
Second.
Okay, so this adoption of a resolution, do we have to state what it is, or is that a sufficient motion?
I have the motion as being adoption of the resolution, adopt the attached water conservation proclamation with its revisions. So, Gehring, it was your motion.
That was my intent.
That's what your intent is? Yeah. Okay, then that's the motion.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion carries. Next in the agenda is a consideration of surplus water drought planning.
Mr. Chairman, Mark Hutchinson again, Department of Public Works. At your last meeting in May, your advisory committee adopted a recommendation that the Board of Supervisors declare surplus water in an amount not less than 2,207 acre feet for use by the Zone 3 agencies this current water year. As you're aware, there's been some internal controversy about contract language, low reservoir response plans, and a host of other issues related to this. There's been meetings among agencies with county supervisors, a very productive meeting with the city managers and public works directors just a little while back to clarify perspectives. And a lot of attorney opinions. In the background of all of that, the Zone 3 agencies, with all of your agencies represented, have been forging ahead with the low reservoir response plan. That's a term we're using because it's been previously adopted by the advisory committee. Other agencies are calling it a drought contingency plan, but it's essentially a water management plan for the Zone 3 agencies and the NCMA to manage all of the various resources. With all of that said, the district is scheduling the surplus water determination for the Board of Supervisors on August 19th. It is our intent to accommodate all of the various opinions about contract language, but the bottom line is that we will be recommending that 2,327 acre feet be made available to the Zone 3 agencies. Further, that is based on schedule that the Zone 3 agencies have developed for completion of the low reservoir response plan. We've also made a commitment to the agricultural community that in the neighborhood of the 1st of December, we'll come back to the board and obviously with your advisory committee in advance, talk about where we are with the drought, the El Nino, and the other implications that are going on. But 2,327 acre feet to be priced and managed as surplus water. So that, in short, if all of the agencies, request their fair share of surplus, then it would be delivered at no additional charge above what the agencies already pay for entitlement water. And that's how the system's been operated in past years.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. I participated in at least one of the conversations with some of the different individuals about this issue. And one individual suggested that from a long-term basis, there may be some merit to look at trying to revise the contracts with the different participating agencies or members to reflect sort of a program or the way the contracts are established for Whale Rock Reservoir. Maybe that would be a model in the future and how these contracts could be amended to somewhat reflect that. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, I've heard those conversations and also looked at the Whale Rock model to see how that works. I think where we're at the county right now is that looking at the contract and doing things differently with all of the agencies and agreements always an open opportunity. I think the suggestion was is that would be something that all of us would like to.
Mr. Hutchinson, questions or comments from the other board members? Mr. Gehring?
Mark, could you clarify the recommendation that staff has taken to the board on this issue? For instance, are you recommending that the surplus water be available retroactively to essentially have been available as of April 1st or thereabouts?
That part I can clarify that the answer would be yes.
Okay.
And as you know, we've been operating the plant at near maximum capacity to make sure that we didn't end up with a meaningless declaration at some point.
And could you say again your comment about the schedule of the agencies related to the LRRP? I didn't quite get that.
Oh, the I'll call it the LRRP working group, but that's members of the TAC working on the low reservoir response plan of, in a letter signed by the three city managers, suggested that their target dates for having a draft LRRP to the TAC and then to the advisory committee and then onto the board, and they're very confident that we can meet that schedule. So we don't have, you know, we don't have details of a low reservoir response plan to present to you, but everyone at the working level understands what we're working with and from and trying to achieve. So we're going to recommend to our board that they don't need a completed low reservoir response plan to move forward with making sure that the agencies understand that this amount of water is available.
All right, thank you.
I have one question, Chris. So this is about a month out. Is there any possible way that we could get this on an earlier Board of Supervisors agenda?
Actually, there really isn't. Our board and admin works on a 30-day lead time.
Oh, okay.
We are, when it comes to preparing the resolution and getting county council and review, I'm about a week and a half behind after getting the verbal agreements on how to go ahead with this. However, if I may, After your committee finishes issues with this, I do want to bring all of you up to date on some breaking news on the waterfront, just to be able to use this forum to start getting the word out.
Well, I had a question, Mr. Hutchinson, in response to, I'm sorry, your Kristen's question. But isn't there some flexibility that the county's been providing right now as far as surface deliveries to try to minimize the amount of groundwater pumping?
Yes, my understanding that we've been running the plant as near to maximum as needed to provide as much surface water as possible through the Lopez system.
Thank you. Any other questions from Mr. Hutchinson?
Sorry. What happened with the possible rewording of surplus, quote unquote, surplus water? Did you ever decide that they were going to call it something different?
Well, yeah, the TAC had suggestion that when at such point as we get into contract amendments or revisions to the contract, that it might be appropriate to clarify that language. I think it's a carryover from probably the 1960s when the contracts were first written, and now we see State Water and Nacimiento using similar terms in a different way. State Water has a surplus in it. It's a different thing. The Nacimiento contracts use the terms reserve and surplus, and they're defined differently than the South County. And we all know what we're dealing with is carryover water. But it would take a contract amendment to do that. So that'll be hopefully one of the cleanup items that comes along.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hutchinson. So this is going forward to the County Board of Supervisors in approximately 30 days, and this is a result of the action that this board took in May, so there's no action that we have to take at this time. Okay, thank you. Next on the agenda is future agenda items, Floods Zone 11A Sandbar Management Plan presentation.
That's just a placeholder because it's been requested, and I was waiting for us to get through some of the drought issues and surplus water. So if we don't have some big agendas coming forward in the next few meetings, I'll put this on there so we can hear it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Diodati. Mr. Hutchinson, did you want to talk about the item that you just suggested now?
I think appropriately under a future agenda items. I wanted to let your committee know that on the one hand, at the county staff level, we begin a lot of questions and concerns from various decision makers as to what the plan is, i.e. Everyone knows that county staff is working overtime with all of the water agencies in the county, from the North County to the South and up and down the coast, trying to figure out what everybody's ending with the Board of Supervisors for the implementation and management of the IRWM, the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan. So you'll see that on August 12th. The other thing, and more immediate, we're planning to bring to our board what we're calling a one-year look ahead, just to let the board know what we know and what we are thinking and what we don't know about each of the regions around the county. Important component of that is we will present to the board, hopefully, a suggested plan for what to do with the district's owned state water. That's important to two of the agencies, actually three, four agencies in the South County that are state water contractors. Right now, agencies in the county that are using state water are using, for the most part, water that those individual agencies have saved in the system, either through purchasing of drought buffer or reducing their use. One or two smaller agencies are working on small amounts of district-owned, unallocated, stored state water. Beginning January 1st, only one agency in the county will have their own state water stored in San Luis Reservoir, which would be the city of Morro Bay. But there will be a quantity of district-owned carryover water. So we plan to go to our board, and we are talking to all of the state water subcontractors in the county about what their needs are, and get the board to endorse what we'll call, I guess, the one-year plan for state water. The general concept being that given diminishing supplies in that system, it's probably the appropriate time to move as much water out of the San Luis Reservoir and into our individual customers as possible, offsetting or preserving the use of surface and local groundwater. There may be near enough water to make most of the agencies whole, which is our hope. But I'll need the Board of Supervisors' endorsement of that so that all of the contractors can do their appropriate planning, not the least of which is Zone 3. So we'll be notifying the individual public works departments through staff-level contacts, and, of course, that will be noticed ahead of time on the Board of Supervisors' agenda. But, again, that is August 12th, and then we'll follow up on August 19th with the surplus water declaration for Zone 3.
Okay. Thank you for that report. Mr. Hutchinson, questions?
Break this thing first. I'm having a hard time hearing over here, so if you wouldn't mind, can you just clarify for me, please? Did you say that there may be enough district-owned state water to make the water supplies whole?
Most of them.
Most of them.
I can throw some numbers at you. The agencies in the county have 4,830 acre-feet of state water, which is fairly close to the same numbers that Zone 3 gets from Lopez. But City of Morro Bay has 1,313, and they have their own 1,313 for next year. A couple of our customers in the Chorro Valley are state agencies that have carryover water and local supplies. So you can see right now that this is not going to be a strictly fair divvying up of the water. We're projecting around 2,500 acre feet. That could change, available. So we hope to push appropriate percentages of that to the South County through the Zone 3, the Lopez turnout. All of our other customers are at the Chorro Valley turnout, most of which are in and around the government institutions. Cuesta College, the county jail, the ops center, places like that. So we want to get those numbers out there and then get feedback from everyone if there's going to be serious issues from that.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question, Mark.
We'll go with Mr. Taylor first. His light is on.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Mr.
Oh, thank you. Now I'm confused, I guess. But okay, so county has... on the order of 4,800 acre-feet of carried-over state water that is owned by the county only. Is that correct?
For this year, we have about 1,500. Next year, we're projecting about 2,500.
So, 4,000 total?
No, an extra 1,000 on top of the total 2,500.
Okay. Perhaps I misunderstood. I thought that you said that the total entitlements the state water contractors have is about 4,830.
That's the contract amount,
right,
of Pismo Beach. And we're working with them and our numbers to see if it's appropriate to advance some of the carryover water to Pismo Beach this at the end of this calendar year. And then we start getting to issues in pipeline capacity and who owns what. And so you have to be careful about that sort of thing.
Apparently we're going to have to firm those numbers up a little bit later, aren't we?
We're going to firm them up as tight as we can on August 12th. But as you know, what happens with rainfall, what happens with state water, what happens with other conditions, all of our water sources are getting... not empty, but, you know, down to lower levels. So minor changes in percentages turns out to be an important part of the water picture. But so our efforts to get as much information out there as we can as accurately as possible and then put an asterisk by everything that it's subject to change depending on local conditions.
And the numbers that you've given us for carryover water are completely independent of the declaration by the Department of Water Resources each year as to the percentage of state water being delivered?
We're projecting district water in storage based on a 0% state water allocation for next year.
Okay, thank you.
You had a question?
No, I think he answered it.
Okay.
Thank you.
If I'm hearing this right, though, it sounds like with this water, we'll be the Zone 3 contractors. If we have a below water year starting October 1st, that we may be able to get by through part of next year, but it's the year after that we're really in trouble. No?
I'm trying to remember what my graphs say. We think South County, Zone 3, is fairly solid, and Jeff English in the audience can confirm this, through 2 years from April 1st of this year. So all of this year and all of next. But, you know, when we look at the reservoir, the variabilities and during drought periods and evaporation and inflow can give you pause. What all of this means, though, is, again, I mentioned that we are planning to be back at our board in December with updates on Zone 3 and all of the other agencies at the latest. We do a monthly update at our board, which, depending on the amount of information needed, may be on consent. And I anticipate that they'll want to maybe get more detailed information as it becomes available. We are dealing with, Zone 3 might be one of the easier ones when it comes to the number of variables that we're dealing with. And the condition of water agencies throughout the county runs the gamut. I can give you a brief summary of that if you'd like. It's been a short meeting.
Would the board members care to hear that update, that summary?
Sure.
Yes. We have time. I know your constraint is 7:40. Okay. Okay. Please proceed, Mr. Hutchinson.
Just some things that we're dealing with. You may have heard that the community of Cambria is under construction on a brackish water treatment plant. It's been referred to as a desal plant. They're going to be pumping groundwater that has high levels of salts, but not as high as the ocean. They've gotten their necessary permits and fended off regulatory agencies that were looking to slow things down. They are projecting, by the way, Cambria is under the strictest water conservation requirements that they can muster. I don't know what their per capita water use is, but they've banned all outdoor watering, all car washing. They're patrolling the streets looking for water waste and all of those kinds of things. I've been told you can go to a Cambria to a 4-star restaurant. If you ask for water, it will come in a plastic bottle. And if you want to use the restroom, it's a porta potty in the parking lot. And some of the 4-star restaurants are using paper plates to avoid washing dishes. So they are very, very tight. They are projecting that their groundwater wells, which is their only source, will cease to operate on October 1st. So they are working on this brackish water system. It will provide about 2/3 of their current water use. So even with the brackish water system in place, they'll be looking for additional conservation. To that end, the County Office of Emergency Services, Public Works, state agencies, and our should it be necessary. I think you're aware of the situation in the South County with Lopez Lake. All of us focusing on avoiding significant and permanent impacts to the groundwater basin. In the Chorro Valley, all of those institutions out there have been relying on near 1,000 acre feet of state water, which is going to be significantly reduced under any scenario. So we'll look for the Men's Colony to up their use from their portion of Whale Rock water. Significant conservation throughout all of those facilities and in the county jail and at Cuesta College. North County is in a completely different situation. the three main communities up there, Tascadero, Templeton, and Paso Robles, are groundwater and Nacimiento water-based. They are all pretty much in third level, I'll call it conservation status, and not seeing significant issues. Paso Robles is working overtime to finish their water treatment plant so they can use additional Nacimiento water and back off of their groundwater pumping to try to assist the rural residents and agriculture on the east side of the city where the groundwater drop is in the 70 to 90 foot range over the last 5 years. North County is problematic for us because the district, so countywide taxpayers own 6,000 acre feet of water that is in Nacimiento Reservoir. It's currently unallocated. And just across the river is where we have the Paso Robles groundwater basin with certain pockets of drying up wells. We have no economically feasible methods to get that water over there. So City of Paso Robles and Tascadero Mutual Water Company, their governing boards have, made certain findings and decisions to allow their agencies to sell water to water haulers because we have residents in the North County with dry wells who are relying on water that's being trucked in. So we're essentially running Nacimiento water through those systems to get it treated to potable standards. Then the cities and the mutual water company are selling the water at cost to water haulers who then deliver it to rural residences who are then paying the trucking costs. We have heard that one company is selling water for the lump sum, water cost plus trucking at 50 cents a gallon, which for water is a significant number. Community of Santa Margarita relies on two local groundwater wells. They're in alert status, which is the second highest possible for their water situation. We're tracking the decline in the water levels in the well on a daily basis. That's a county-run system. And we have already in place the appropriate triggers to go to the next level of water conservation. They are also in the drought grant program for an intertie between Santa Margarita and the south end of the Tascadero Mutual Water Company, so that in an emergency we could wheel water through a Tascadero and get it down to Santa Margarita. There's a small community of garden farms happens to be along the way, and so we'd connect them up also. But those would be emergency interties, much like the CMC system. So our staff's meeting with North County agencies through what we call the Nacimiento Technical Support Group. It's like the TAC here in the South County. John's working to bring together a Toro Valley Working Group. We fill the room with a number of agencies with interests out there. There's some infrastructure improvements that have to be made along with a multi-million dollar intertie to guarantee water security over the next 2 to 3 years. So a lot going on in the county. We don't see, anybody not taking action. I think all the agencies are moving forward as where there are public water agencies, and then the public agencies are doing what they can to assist rural residents. I failed to mention the city of San Luis Obispo, as you know, has spent significant amounts of money since the 1990-92 drought, that period, to bolster up their water supply. They have multiple sources, so they consider themselves to be in fairly good shape. Of course, their concerns run to the fact we were talking to them a couple days ago. You know, they have a resident population of some 50,000 people, which is about 20% of the county population all in one system. And their daytime population approaches 100,000 people. So there's a major economic issue if they were to run short on water. It turns out the city has what they consider a non-potable well at their corporate yard, which many years ago they directed any contractor in the city who needs water is required to use that well rather than a fire hydrant. The word is out, so there are many, many South County residents visiting that well and filling up their bottles. The last reporting I heard in this county was 2 months ago, and the ag commissioners recorded requests for financial assistance from 300 separate farmers. Most of those in the cattle business.
I just looked at the annual report from the Ag Commissioner for crop production, you know, where wine grapes is one and strawberries competes. And the number for cattle and calves is way up because most of the herds have been sold. So we are cognizant of how that ripples through our local economies. And but from a public works perspective, continue to focus on making sure water gets to where it needs to get. And are also tracking, of course, all the stuff coming out of Sacramento about all the new rules and whatnot. So there's a lot going on, and we hope to update the community and the board on the 12th with as much as we know and can convey in a organized fashion in about an hour.
Thank you for the report. Any questions for Mr. Hutchinson from the board? I'm going to give an opportunity for members of the public if they want to add to this discussion. Okay, seeing none. Okay, next on the agenda is committee member comments. Any comments from the committee members? Ms. Bright?
I'd just like to thank, I'd just like to thank staff for going forward with the surplus water, whatever we're calling it, and getting that on the agenda is really important for our cities and our agencies. So I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
I would echo that comment. Okay, seeing